is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Allo Communications Studios. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, Katie Wingy with Altitude TV, talking all things Denver Nuggets. Katie, thank you so much for jumping on and giving us some time today. I hear it was kind of a crazy flight for you guys the other night.
Yeah, thanks for having me, first and foremost. We flew from Indiana to Boston. We were supposed to get in around 12:30 Eastern time. I didn't hit my head on the pillow until 5:30 a.m. after that Indiana game. So we had all sorts of plane troubles. And the good news is it wasn't a back-to-back, so we had a full day to recover, and the guys are ready to go tonight.
Full day to recover. Back at it tonight. Should be a crazy matchup between the Nuggets and the Celtics. But let's go back, Katie, to that Pacers game. My goodness. I mean, what, down 18 at one point, this Nuggets team, with Joker and foul trouble throughout most of the game, found a way to get it done.
Yeah, they really did, and it was so fun to watch. I mean, anytime you have a comeback like that, obviously it takes a full team effort, and for Nikola Jokic, he knows that he can't put himself in that position. He knows that he has to be on the floor and available for this Denver Nuggets team, and so I think that's something that he learned and will play a little bit smarter moving forward in that regard. But it was great to see Aaron Gordon step up in the way that he did. A bunch of players made shots. KCP, I thought, made a couple really big ones for the Nuggets. So it speaks to the depth of this Denver Nuggets team. They have players that can step up if Jokic can't go.
Katie, we had too long of a conversation with my producer about who really is the peanut butter and jelly, the pieces of bread, the glass of milk, all of that. But I look at Aaron Gordon and I'm like, that guy's got to be something, because what he has been doing, I mean, he is necessary for the Nuggets. When he's playing in the paint like that, like a big man should, my goodness, he is a threat. And so I'm looking at him going, maybe he's the real peanut butter holding this thing together. I don't know.
I don't know if I would go that far. I think Denver's dynamic duo of Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic have sealed the deal in terms of peanut butter and jelly. But
okay, who's the is Aaron Gordon a piece of bread then, maybe? What do you think? Help us
sure,
out here.
Sure, you can throw MPJ as a piece of bread and okay. Aaron Gordon as a piece of bread. Okay. And then you talk about, you know, the top four guys of the core of this Nuggets team. But when you speak of Aaron Gordon, and I mean, one of the things that I think Nuggets fans love most about him is you look at who he was when he was in Orlando, and he knew that he had to be the go-to guy there. And now, playing with the Nuggets, he just loves the style of play that Denver adapts. This selfless basketball, this, you know, passing up good shots for great ones, this getting your teammates involved and making sure that you share the basketball. So he steps into that role and is just such a seamless fit. I think him being able to play that true power forward spot this season so far with a healthy Murray, with a healthy Michael Porter Jr., that has allowed him to really excel too, being in that dunker position, getting offensive rebounds, driving and being aggressive and being, you know, that really tough, nitty-gritty four that a lot of teams strive to have. So it's been great to see him kind of get back to those roots and still find ways to contribute, obviously, for the Nuggets.
We're talking to Katie Wingy on our First Advantage Hotline. And Katie, I go back to Gordon at the end of the season last year, the end of the playoffs, and Gordon said it, you know, in those press conferences. He said, I know what I need to do. I need to really own that paint and really can, you know, distribute the basketball, do those kind of things, be there for Joker. And I loved what I heard, but I thought, okay, well, that's all well and good until we see it. We have certainly seen more of an aggressive Aaron Gordon in the paint.
Yeah, it just goes back to what I was saying, you know, like he recognizes that when he's at that four spot, he's got shooters around him. So he's going to drive in and either kick it out to an open Jamal Murray, an open Michael Porter Jr., or he's going to be able to dunk or lay it in for an easy one. So, I mean, you see his field goal percentage, he's shooting 57% from the field, and I think that's a direct correlation to where he's getting shots on the floor. It's all around the rim. It's all in the paint. And when you play with Nikola Jokic, he's learned through the years or the year, however long he's been with the Nuggets, that if he moves about the basketball, he's going to be rewarded because of that. I've also loved the moments that we've gotten to see Nikola Jokic and Aaron Gordon in the two-man game. I don't think there are very many NBA teams that have a 4 and a 5 that can run pick and roll together and get something great out of it. So what a luxury for the Nuggets to have.
A lot of combinations for sure. And let's talk about the two-time MVP in Nikola Jokic. This might not be an MVP type year because he's spreading, you know, the ball is spread out so much because you have Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. You don't need Joker to be in the high 20s every single night. He can survive off scoring in the 20s, 21, 24, whatever. But when you look at the rest of the guys around him, that's the way the Joker would rather, right? I mean, he would rather have guys that he can distribute the basketball to other than having to score 30 points a night.
Yeah, he said, I mean, from the beginning, having an assist makes two people happy as opposed to just him scoring, which only makes one person happy. So I think he wants to be a playmaker and a distributor in that way. And we've seen him play with that style and that priority first. And I think with the pieces that he has around him at this point, we're only going to continue to see that. I will, however, argue with you. I don't think the NBA would allow him to be a three-time MVP. But Rick Carlisle did say before the Pacer game that he's doing things that a center has never done before. And the way that he started this season, he could be a three-time MVP if he keeps this up. So to hear that from an opposing coach, one that has, you know, a championship and has such a respectable resume, that was very eye-opening for me to hear of, like, okay, the league has taken notice and they recognize just how much of a threat he is, whether he has to do it by himself or whether he has all of his pieces around him.
Yeah, I don't think there's any debate on my end as far as is he the best or one of the best players in the league. I just, and you said it with the NBA, I think they look at that point total. Okay, you know, who's getting that 30 plus? Who's in that range? Joker might just absolutely blow away some triple double numbers this year. But I just feel like whether it's fair or not, the NBA is always going to stare down that points. That's the number one thing we're looking at.
Yeah, you're not wrong in that. I think that they're looking for those superstar type players that are putting on shows. And Nikola Jokic just puts on a different kind of show. I think that's why it was so hard for so many people to swallow the pill of him winning another MVP and carrying this team in the way that he did. So, I mean, you look at, you know, tonight's opponent in the Boston Celtics, and if you want to talk about putting up big numbers, a player like Jason Tatum is averaging 31 and is playing, you know, the best basketball debatably of his career so far. Those are the type of players that you think of when you're like, okay, who are the guys that are, you know, showing off? Who are the guys that are drawing in the fans, NBA fans in general, and not just Celtics fans, and how are they performing?
Do you think, going over to Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr., specifically Jamal, do you feel like he's ahead of schedule a little bit? Because, Katie, I thought maybe November would be a lot more growing pains. And I'm not saying he hasn't had those, but he's showing more and more flashes earlier than I thought of being that old school Jamal, maybe even back to bubble version of Jamal Murray.
So I don't think every injury is different, right? And every ACL injury is different in terms of recovery and comeback and mentality and comfortability and all of those things. When it comes, so what I'm saying in that is, like, there is really no schedule. Like, once you get physically cleared, it is so, I mean, some days are going to be good, some days are going to be bad, some days are going to be sore, some days you're going to feel really great, some days mentally you're not going to be all in, and some days you're going to feel like you're exactly who you used to be. There's a lot of give and take through this process, and it absolutely still is. Pleasantly surprised, too, with just how aggressive I've seen Murray to start this season. I thought, you know, and there were a couple games at the beginning where he wasn't necessarily coming off screens hard looking for his shot. He was looking to be more of a playmaker first. And I think the past two games, maybe even three games, we've seen Jamal go into, like, takeover Jamal mode in the third quarters or at different spurts of these games. And so to see those moments again has been so fun to watch. And I think it's been so fun for Murray to be back in that competitive spirit that he knows and loves. Because you when you're in those types of runs, you lose yourself in the game. And when you're injured or you're coming back from being injured, even in the back of your mind, you're thinking about, okay, how's my knee feel? Okay, I'm back on the floor. Like, did that cut hurt? Was I a step slow on that? Should I have shot that? Oh, I didn't shoot that because my feet were set and my knee was kind of out of place. Like, little moments like that where you're thinking through things. For him to have spurts of games where he's just playing free and isn't thinking about anything at all, really, really good progress and great to see you for Marie.
Katie Wingy joining us on our First Advantage Hotline. Katie, a couple more for you, and then we'll let you get out of here. Looking at this matchup tonight, certainly a big one between the Boston Celtics. As you said, with Tatum's playing some of the best basketball of his career, a big test for Denver, but sitting at 8-3, knowing that November was full of all these crazy road trips, I mean, man, it just they look so good at this point. I'm not saying they're playing perfect. Obviously, they were down at one point to Indiana by 18. How far do you feel like this team can go based on what you're seeing on this, you know, after this 11th day of November?
That's such a funny question. I've actually been getting it kind of often lately, and I'm like, really? We're already talking about
the end of the season? It seems like they're so good.
What are we doing here? No, I think first and foremost, health is the most important thing, and managing that. Managing expectations with that, load management with that, all of those things. But in my mind, if they're all clicking on the same cylinder and things are rolling the way that they have been and they can figure out their defense, their road defense has been much better over the last handful of road games. So if they keep that going in the right direction, I have no reason to think that they can't come out of the West. I think that they absolutely would be competitive in that regard. But again, like their defense has to stay solid. Their offense is going to be great. Like that, we see the talent that they have. They're going to be able to score the basketball. To me, it's like, okay, once you score, can you be disciplined defensively? Can you, you know, lock into to game plan and knowing personnel and taking away things and making things difficult? So, I mean, I think Coach Malone at the beginning of the season said he'd love to be top five in both offense and defense. I think if the Nuggets are top five or top 10 in offense and defense, they'll put themselves in a pretty good position.
I'm always looking ahead, Katie. I got to be ready. I got to get my playoff tickets and all of it.
I can't believe we're already there. Like, yep, we're 11 games in, and we're talking about where they're going
to
finish.
I think, you know, we were so hungry to see Jamal and MPJ back with this group, but I was still kind of skeptical. Like, how long is it going to take for them to gel? And it just, to me, it seems like it's all ahead of where I thought. So, yeah, I'm thinking championship. It's time.
Well,
it's time to hoist that trophy.
That would be great. But it is like, you say, yes, they've gelled. Absolutely. But there's going to be some ups and downs to that gelling. That's just natural. I think that right now they're really well connected, and right now the chemistry looks really good, and everybody's making shots. I mean, they're shooting the best percentage from the field and from the three-point line in the entire NBA. And so I think to temper expectations just a little bit, they're not going to be like this the entire season. That would be tremendous if they did. But there's going to be some highs, there's going to be some lows, and it's just about staying the course.
Yeah, no question. Katie, love what you do. Huge fan of yours. I loved it in the broadcast the other night. Mr. Marlowe said, hey, it's nervous time. And you said, nervous time? This is fun time. I can't remember exactly,
yeah.
But I was feeling it. I was into it at that point. So you do such a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Katie. We'll talk to you soon. Katie Wingy of Altitude TV. She got a couple of disagreements with me there. No way. Joker is going to be an MVP this year. There's just no way. It's not happening. There is 0.0 chance. Percentile.
I feel like I've heard that before.
Not from me.
From some people.
Not from me. I said Joker would be the MVP last year, and I said he would be the MVP the year before that. He will not be the MVP this year. His numbers are not there. They won't be there.
Brady, we're only 11 games in.
11 games in, and you're already 11 games behind Luka and Tatum. I mean, these guys are averaging 30 points per game. Joker won't average 30 points per game. He will be a triple-double machine, but you have Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr. taking away those points. It's about the points, Angel. That's what it is. Like, fair or unfair, Joker could be the best player in the league. He will not win MVP again. Well, he might win it again, but he ain't winning it back-to-back-to-back. Not happening. And that's not enough. You know me. I'm a Joker guy. It's just this is the way the NBA is going to view it. Who's averaging 30? Okay, those are the first guys that we're going to see, that we're going to talk about. And then everybody else. It's probably going to be Luka. It's probably going to be Luka Doncic that wins this thing. Mark my words, Angel. 12:48 the time. We'll take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.